Bellwether Friends. Definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like. You should trust us because we're librarians. I'm Anna, and my shoe collection has grown 17-fold in the last 1.5 years.
I'm Aline, and I'm a facilitator.
Oh. Every couple of weeks we'll get together and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think, and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. Today we are talking about a subject that is near and dear to our hearts, that we are in the midst of right now. It's very important. It goes by the name of
Chuckstravaganza.
And if you have followed us on Twitter or on Instagram, personally, not Bellwether Friends, we haven't quite leached over into Bellwether Friends until right now.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Leeching.
Chuckstravaganza is a concept that we came up with our friend Melissa because she and Aline have enough pairs of Converse shoes, not just Chuck Taylor All-Stars, although maybe you're approaching that now.
I'm getting closer. Mel is all Chuck Taylor all the time.
Yeah.
I have an array of Converse
products.
Branded shoe products, yes.
So enough of these shoe products to be able to wear a different pair every day in May without repeating. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so, oh, cat fighting in the foreground, or is it the background? And so we thought, what better excuse to wear all of these things that you might not otherwise take out of the closet if you didn't have a reason?
Point. I get in a rut and I wear a pair or two in heavy rotation, and so having a reason to wear my way through all of them in 1 month last year was refreshing. It allowed me to determine some gaps in my collection and set about filling those gaps. It refreshed my joy and interest in my Converse, and it has carried over. This is the second annual Chuckstravaganza in May.
Yeah, so we thought we'd do a little explanatory episode. We'll talk a little bit about the Chuck Taylor concept, Converse in general, shoes, collecting. And mostly we're going to talk to Aline because I had not had a pair of Converse All-Stars until she gave them to me some 3 years ago.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. And now I have more than 10 pairs.
Really?
Fewer than 20.
Huh.
But not that much fewer at this point.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, I always kind of wanted a pair.
And a pair. She wanted a pair.
Well, at least one pair. I had high tops, and I may have had a pair when I was a younger me. Mm-hmm. We have to check the photo evidence.
Okay.
But if I did, I didn't have any particular attachment, and I didn't have the feeling that they were, like, something cool kids wore or anything. Let's delve into your personal history now.
Okay. My first pair of Chuck Taylor Converse were bright pink high tops in 1985? I had them my freshman year of high school, and those pink ones served me well, and I got some red classic red ones and some probably outlet store.
Speaking of gaps, pale gray. I don't have a classic red pair.
You don't have a classic red pair. You should write that down. And so there were three pairs of high tops in my past, and then there were many, many years that didn't have Chuck Taylors to speak of. I believe those three pairs died natural deaths. And then sometime in my massive shoe acquisition era, which I would say was age 25 to the present. Yeah, you said to someone once upon a time, I said, yeah, I buy a pair a week in the high season. And then I had to explain to her that what the high season of shoe purchasing was.
Yes, and what is the high season of shoe purchasing?
Well, year-round, really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's cyclical because of fashion. In I'm already digressing away from Chucks into shoes in general, and I have feet that don't fit in every single shoe that I try on. So I had an interval where I bought all the shoes that fit me,
right.
Simply because they fit me, and often in different colors. In my 20s, as a young professional, I would find a pair of shoes that I liked, and I would buy them in black, and I would buy them in brown, and then I would have them to wear.
So I did that too, although on a very microscopic scope compared to you. And I was thinking about this today in terms of, like, Chuck Taylors and, like, the range of colors that they come in and it being similar to something I think of often, which is the time that they realized that computers didn't have to be beige, or the time that they realized that appliances could all be that same avocado color if you wanted, or any other color. The time that they realized, hey, we can offer these shoes in any number of colors. For example, rainbow for pride.
Yay!
And that they did, and they do, and that makes it very much harder to resist for people of a collecting tendency.
I'd say that's right. I think about knowing people who have always worn some sort of signature thing. I had a friend in college who wore black low-top Chucks, and he would buy a pair, and then he would wear them until they wore out, and then he would buy another pair. And I'm sure that he's still doing that. They would last him about 2 years before they literally shivered to bits on his feet. And I think that, I didn't wear them when I was hanging out with him, and then I just started wearing them, and I think that I... Like so many things that I do, I picked up a pair at Marshall's or TJ Maxx or something in some color. I could not date them, although I have a vague impression that the pink ones with the gold flowers on them might be an early purchase. But that hasn't limited me. At some point, I decided I needed classic black, and then I began a pursuit of the ones that I needed to, like, flesh out my collection. I needed navy for summer, so I picked those up, and I wore them, you know, with khakis and a navy t-shirt, and I could go on.
Well, you certainly could. I did some research into the history.
Oh, are you going to talk about Chuck Taylor, the basketball player?
Not really. I mean, he did play. So, the Converse Rubber Shoe Company was formed in Malden, Massachusetts. So we are here, this is destiny that you live here now, so you can be closer
to... Are we going to go there?
The is star
there
a of it place all?
Well, that I can... Is there a pilgrimage? Is there a wall I can kiss?
It's based in Boston now, and we've taken a picture of the
yes.
building.
Okay.
That says Converse on the top.
Yes, I know the building.
We can put it in the show notes.
It's along the Freedom Trail.
It is along the Freedom Trail. So that was formed in 1908, and then they introduced the first pair of Chuck Taylors, but they weren't called Chuck Taylors until, like, 4 years later. Or more, in 1917. So that means they're 100 years old now.
Yay! Just like my grandmother. My grandmother was born in 1917.
So it was just mine. One of them.
Awesome.
Anyway, the low cuts were not introduced until 1957.
Really? I think that John Travolta is wearing low tops in Greece, and so that might not be historically accurate, because I believe that Greece is set in 1955. I look forward to being corrected by our astute listeners.
So they were originally not basketball shoes, because even though basketball originated in Springfield, Massachusetts, where I work, apparently Spalding had the corner on the basketball shoe market, and so Converse started making rubber-soled shoes, but for other sports. And then Chuck Taylor, the guy who also played for the Converse All-Stars basketball team, but was not a pro basketball player, as far as I can tell. You can all write in and correct me on this. I did cursory research. Pause to play fetch with the kitten.
The kitten has brought her sparkle ball to me and dropped it on me, so that will be the little thumping and jingling that you hear in the background, is playing fetch with the kitten.
So he took, like, a truck full of All-Stars and drove around the country and, like, hand sold them, which is why eventually they put his signature on the shoe.
Thanks Chuck.
And so they were worn in the first Olympic basketball game ever by the USA.
I think I knew about that. 1936.
And the last NBA player to wear them in the game is Tree Rollins in 1979. Because the secret, not so secret of the Chuck Taylor is that it has no support whatsoever. It is actually pretty terrible in terms of being an athletic shoe for basketball. Now, we know someone on Instagram, and I saw corroborating evidence that weightlifters, powerlifters, have adopted the Chuck Taylor as, like, the perfect shoe because of its configuration for their sport.
Interesting. I was discoursing on the topic of Chuck Stravaganza in the staff room today. And a couple of my coworkers were saying that they can't wear them because they hurt their feet.
Yep.
And I said, you know, they fit me and they work for me. And my super broken down, like, rattiest of ratty, my black ones are the most worn out of the ones that I have. And they still feel great. There's like a barefoot element to it.
Right.
And I am fortunate to have feet that allow it.
Right.
Without pain. I can recognize that there's no support, but it's not quite barefoot because I can't feel the gravel.
Right.
So I like them.
So, 2 years ago, they redesigned and created the Chuck 2, which is supposed to give you more support. I have purchased 2 pairs in the last few days.
Did you wear them yet?
No, I'm going to wear a pair tomorrow, and I will report back as to whether or not they are more supportive. I don't seem to have a problem with the support issue. I mean, it's not the shoe that I necessarily want to wear while we, like, walk around New York City all day.
Right.
But otherwise, it seems to be fine. Working all day, standing, wandering around.
And I can wear them all day in New York, and have done. So, I probably wouldn't wear my broken-down old black ones all day in New York, and I probably wouldn't wear a pair that I have not worn
right at all.
At all, but I can and do wear them when we are on the road.
And some people wear them with insoles.
Yes, some people wear them with insoles. And I have socks that are more comfortable with them and socks that are less comfortable with them. And I sock accordingly.
Sock accordingly.
Based on my
Speaking of high versus low, like, you gave me a pair of low tops and I'm happy with them. They're black. Classic black. And then you got me another pair when I thought I'd lost my first pair. Thank you. I'm sensing a theme. I think my main problem is I don't like to wear socks that expose my ankles. My ankles get cold or they feel naked. And so I like high tops because I can wear my normal socks with them and I don't feel vulnerable.
And this, dear listeners, is a topic on which we diverge. I have low tops. I have only one pair of high tops, which I acquired this weekend because they are the rain boot rubber version. You can view them on Instagram. And everything else I have is low tops because I don't like high tops because I think they choke my ankles. And I like to wear baby socks and wear my Chucks. I come from a place where you can wear them for 3 seasons, and I do and did and will continue to do so. Although my first winter in Massachusetts was a rude awakening on the topic of Chucks.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't as bad as last winter.
No.
So, there you go.
Which is why I have to wear them in May, because if I wear my way through my entire collection, then everything gets worn at least once a year.
And it's not too hot or too cold in general in May.
Mm-hmm. I can wear socks and shoes without being miserable, where in the summer I have to wear the barest of sandals.
Right. I am in general happy with my mix of low and high tops. And if I see a color I like and it's only in low tops, that won't stop me from buying it. But if I'm buying new, I think I'm buying high tops. And by new, I mean as cheap as I can possibly get new.
Right. We're a great fan of the Converse outlet stores that we have in our routes.
And we can also recommend looking in at places like Marshalls and TJ Maxx, assuming that they are no longer promoting Trump products.
Yes. I have found amazing finds at thrift stores. My Marimekko patterned, sorry, our Finnish friends for my pronunciation, were unworn.
Yep.
I got them at Goodwill for $4.
Yep.
And they had both pairs of laces that they were originally sold with.
Yeah, I think a thrift store is a good place to get started if you are okay with a used shoe.
Yeah.
Although yours were new.
Right. And you can find a not very used shoe and the Converse, because if you wear Converse, you wear them out. Or if you don't wear them, or you buy a pair and they don't work, then you might get rid of them
right away.
Virtually yeah. Unworn. That's a good thing.
So I wanted to digress in a little to like Converse and pop culture. I was looking up these various lists. You already mentioned Grease, but as far as movies, Rocky, Juno, The Sandlot, The Outsiders, West Side Story.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Apparently the first time they were seen on TV was on the Donna Reed Show, which just made me think of the Gilmore Girls, because they had that Donna Reed episode. I haven't seen Donna Reed ever since. That was a long time ago.
Right, I don't think I have either.
And then, of course, there's a whole website called chucksconnection.com, which is a list of musicians that have been seen wearing.
Which would be all of them.
Chuck, which is pretty much all of them, like the Rolling Stones and Kurt Cobain, of course, and Green Day, naturally. And then it goes, Elvis.
Oh, Elvis.
Then it goes forward in time to young people like Avril Lavigne and Miley Cyrus and Katy Perry, who is on a plane.
She is on a plane. So this, you're talking about this, and I cannot figure out what made me attempt to wear a Chuck Taylor.
But that's what I want to know, Ellie.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Now, I bought a pair of plum suede one stars, and if you don't know the one star, then you should check my Instagram feed, because I've got a dozen pairs of those, and they show up later in May after the Chuck Taylors are depleted. My Chuck Taylor high tops that I had in high school hurt my toes. The toe cap hurt my toes for some reason, and maybe I was wearing the wrong size, I don't know. And so I started wearing the suede one star, because I have been obsessed with stars since grad school. So they don't have a toe cap, and they have a star on the side. In the low top, it's on the side of the shoe. And if in the high tops, you only get the star medallion. You don't get the star medallion on a low top Chuck Taylor. So I wore those, and I bought a pair of those, and I wore them, and I still have them. And then I started buying every color I could get my hands on, because I don't know if it was, Converse was sold before they came under Nike. They were sold to someone else, and there was like this rumor that all Converse were going away. So that's a thing for a collector. So I ended up with a bunch of suede one stars, and I wore the heck out of them, and I still have them, and I have some pairs that I haven't worn as much. But then something got me onto Chucks. And there I was. And now I've got twice as many pairs of Chucks as I have of one stars.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a lot more pairs of Chucks than I have of anything else. Because I was always a person that thought, all right, I've got 5 pairs of shoes.
That's adorable. Whatever.
You know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't 5, but it was certainly not more than 5. In spirit.
Oh my god.
5 types of shoes.
Oh my god.
I do have a pair of cross-country ski boots.
Oh my god.
I bet you don't have one of those.
I don't.
All right then. So I was listening to this interview with Code Switch with the creator of Black-ish, which we still need to watch. But he was talking about how he just loves everything about new sneakers and how his wife doesn't want him to come in the house with a new pair of sneakers ever again. And when I put on a new pair, if all of the white walls are white and I haven't like accidentally kicked something to smudge the toe cap or whatever, what is going to befall my shoe, I do feel a sense of opportunity and possibility.
And I find myself stomping all over my toe caps to make them a little less crisp
as soon as I put on a new pair. I would like, if anyone knows, the secret of returning them to their crisp white state. That would be great.
Oh, well, I know that. Use OxyClean.
Okay. Well, I have several pairs.
Okay. I'll show you how, but I'm not going to do it for you.
Fine.
And, oh, for your listening pleasure, you can throw your Chucks in the washing machine to freshen them up.
You can. Aline has done it for me after a cat chose one of a pair, or both of them, maybe was in the line of a throwing up incident.
Disruption to the digestive system.
Yes, thanks, cats. Yeah. And they have come out looking good as new.
And an elderly cat who is no longer with us peed on a pair of mine, and I washed them in there.
So is that washing in cold?
You just wash them, yeah, just wash them with a load of clothes and cold water. Don't put them in the dryer.
Do you take anything out of them? Do you take the laces out of them?
Take the laces out, toss them in the washing machine with your clothes in a cold water wash, and then take them out and straighten the tongue and set them somewhere not near a heat source.
Or a cat.
Set them somewhere to dry. And then put the laces back in, and they're great. So it can soften them up a little, too, if you're looking for that.
If you're looking for that. I'm not looking for that.
No.
It's not crisp.
Right.
So let's talk for a minute about lacing techniques. So for some reason, I don't know exactly how I started lacing mine the particular way that I did. I was looking up lacing techniques, and I thought I'd try it, and now I lace all of mine that way in a...
It's called the zigzag, if you wish to Google it. And I don't like the way they lace them in the store. So I unlace mine and relace them to my specifications, which a lot of people can't tell that it's different than the way they did it in the store. But it is. I have them laced the way I want them laced.
It's very important.
It is. I am also very, very interested in white laces in my Converse, right, regardless of the color they are.
The contrast is nice.
I like the contrast. I like my classic Converse to be a solid color with white top stitching and white laces and white bumpers and a black racing stripe. I have special editions like my Missoni and my Marimekko, and I have another pair of floral ones that don't seem to be designer branded. So my florals have a off-white bumper and cream colored laces that are not super detectable to a casual observer, but of course I know they're like that. And they lack a racing stripe, some of these, and I don't really like the bumpers without racing stripes.
I'm not sure either. So one of the pairs of the Chuck 2s I got, the blue pair, has no racing stripe. I mean, I could add one in probably, but
I've contemplated getting out a Sharpie and adding one to my...
I feel like my hand would be not steady enough, and then I would be dissatisfied with the uneven stripe.
Yes, we might be better off using black nail polish.
Still. So that's why I got black-on-black pair of the Chuck 2s, because there is no racing stripe. It's all black.
All black. Black bumpers, black stripe, black shoe. And after years and years and years of eschewing the black-on-black Chuck, someone Instagrammed their pair this month, last week, and I was like, oh, I want a pair of those. And I look at them every time I go to the darn store.
I can do
that. And I'm always like, I don't want them. You decided a long time ago that you thought you wanted to.
Well, yeah, but remember we went to that school concert of Little G's and that kid who was up at the front of the stage doing something, some solo or something, he had a pair on, and I was like, I'm going to be like him.
That's right. That was where you got it, was at a school concert. And I was like, I need my white bumper and black racing stripe, and nothing must do. And then suddenly I decided I needed, maybe I need them for formal wear?
Right.
I don't know. Although I really like a classic Chuck with formal wear in red or black.
That is something that Kristen Stewart is always doing on the red carpet.
Is she? Okay, Stew.
Right.
Thanks.
Thanks so much.
I'll have to try it sometime. I mean, I wear them with dresses.
Yeah, well.
But I, you know, I'll wear them with dresses and skirts, but I don't wear them with, like, formal wear yet.
We don't have much opportunity for formal wear.
We can make opportunities for formal Great. Wear.
Let's go to the opera.
At Fathom Events at the movie theater?
Well, yeah, that would be a start. I was thinking the in New York City, but...
Oh, you want to go to the Met?
If you want to start small, we could go to Fathom Events.
I like Fathom Events. You get the backstage stuff at intermission instead of just going out and getting a glass of wine.
Okay, great. And we could wear whatever we wanted.
Yes. Did you have other areas you wanted
to touch on? So my last question, because we talked a little bit about like where you can get these. You can also get them online. The thing that we have learned by going to the Converse Outlet store is that if you go to a Converse store proper, which if you live in a large city, you may have. There aren't that many, I don't think. But if you go to the Converse store proper, they don't have nearly as many interesting styles and colors as at the outlet store.
No, they have the sort of classic colors with the black and the navy and the red, and then there'll be some seasonal color or two.
And there will be some really weird ones.
And there will be things that are not Chucks, and they'll, you know, they'll have their industrial stuff. And then there'll be a whole part of the store that is dedicated to ordering custom Chucks.
Right, which is a thing.
And you can do that online as well. It's very satisfying. I don't know if you ordered custom Vans back in the 80s, but I sure did. And I love picking every single aspect of the shoe, from the stitching to the binding to the tongue color to the laces, and it's very fun.
It's a really easy way to spend $85.
Right, it is. And yes, it goes very quickly and easily and fluidly. And we cannot wait for ours to arrive.
But the outlet store, generally, if you have one near you, you can find something that is not insanely priced, but is still within the parameters of whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, there's always the clearance wall, and you can go to your size, and you can poke around, and there's going to be some high tops, and there's going to be some low tops, and there's going to be some really weird designs, and often there will be one or two that fit the parameters of my classic description that are just some color that they're not selling anymore, or that maybe they sold who knows when. I just picked up a pair of magenta that I haven't seen forever.
I got that pair of eggplant high tops.
Right.
I mean...
Well, and I think your teal ones, too.
Yeah. If anyone listening to this is not near a Converse Outlet store and has very specific things that they're looking for, you let us know, and we'll keep an eye out for you, and we will tweet at you if there is such a thing available.
Yeah, if we find them. Oh, DSW!
Oh, right.
You can get them at DSW.
Yeah, but I have never been impressed by their offerings, really.
No, you don't have to be impressed by their offerings, but they have, do have them.
And they have them at Rack Room Shoes, which we also have here. I don't know how widespread that is.
Right. It might be famous footwear in other locations.
We forgot Journeys.
Journeys has a lot of exclusive ones. We got my sugar skulls at Journeys. And once upon a time, I knew someone got hot pink glitter Chucks from Journeys.
That's nice.
Still jealous.
And they're expensive.
They're full price at Journeys.
In terms of bargain shopping, they're expensive there. But they do offer a AAA discount.
They do.
We learned.
They do offer a AAA discount.
And they do occasionally have sales. And so, like, last time we were in there, it was this really obnoxiously neon green color was on sale because probably not that many people wanted it in the first place.
Right. They had the clear ones.
They did have the clear ones, which are now at TJ Maxx.
Yes.
We sound like we spend a lot of time shopping for Converse.
And we do.
We Accurate.
Would be lying Accurate. If we tried to tell you otherwise.
Ask us any Chuck Taylor in particular, Converse in general, related questions. You can also direct them to Melissa at MelissaZD on Twitter. And you can follow our...
Escapades.
I was going to say shenanigans.
Our unrepentant consumption.
Unrepentant consumerism.
Yes.
All month on the tag Chuckstravaganza on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can join us if you have one pair or 31
pairs. 31 pairs. Or, you know, one of our favorite activities is staring at people's shoes in crowds and occasionally taking creeper pictures of them.
Yeah, we did that last year. We posted a bunch. We were at a soccer game, yep. And we were out shopping and doing all kinds of things.
Just walking down the street.
I almost took a picture of a library patron today who was wearing them, and then I thought better of it.
Yes, well, the line must be drawn somewhere.
Yes.
I think most people who wear them would be happy. At the library conference last year, we definitely corralled someone into taking a picture with us.
That's true. I remember that.
So we'll have to keep an eye out this year.
We will.
Because library conferences do not mean that we are giving up one day of our Chuckstravaganza wearing.
Nope, I have already decided that I am wearing them. Even if I dress nicely for our presentation, I'm wearing Chucks.
Okay, well, now that we've spoken on the topic of these particular shoes for half an hour, what is your musical obsession?
My musical obsession is the song Gigantic by the Pixies, because it has a hook that is very easy to get stuck in your head, and it gets in my head whenever we drive past Hyannis, because you can sing Hyannis to the tune of Gigantic. And then I also recollected today that we occasionally go to the Book Barn in Niantic, which you can also sing to the tune of Gigantic.
Gigantic.
Right. See, you too. What is your musical obsession?
Mine is a song that we listened to several times over the last weekend, called Up All Night by One Direction, in which I googled what I thought were the lyrics, Katy Perry's on a plane, but really it turns out they're saying Katy Perry's on replay.
Now she's on replay.
She's on replay. I did never understood why they were tracking Katy Perry's movements.
They had her on Find Friends.
But I also don't like their pronunciation of replay, so I'm going to keep going with she's on a plane, because I just imagine she flies a lot.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Right, it's probably true.
Probably.
He dissolved on the street.
Katy Perry's on a plane. She's on a plane. Which makes me feel compelled to mention again that there was a patron leaving the library at closing tonight, and as he brushed past me, he flopped his hair back from his head.
Oh.
And we made the briefest eye contact, and I thought he was Harry Styles. He was way too tall to be Harry Styles, but I thought that Harry Styles was in my library. And I watched him walk away, and he was wearing super skinny trousers, and there was not really anything to make me think otherwise except for his stature.
And the fact that he was in your library.
No. Harry Styles would totally be in my library.
Okay.
My library is a destination.
Okay, sorry.
So if anyone knows Harry Styles' precise height, I would like to have this. And I don't just mean for you to Google it right now.
But I want to know.
Because I could tell Wikipedia that I'm 6'4". And nobody
would
have any way to argue.
But I would go in and edit that Wikipedia article and fix it.
So what is your regular obsession, Anna?
So for, I'm busy Googling Harry Styles' height. It says he's 5'11".
I don't think so.
And therefore the tallest of the One Directioners.
I don't think he's 5'11".
Okay.
He may be the tallest of the One
he's
Directioners.
He's 1.83 meters. How's that?
Yeah, no.
He actually cannot be measured in feet because...
because they just won't.
They don't do that. That's not okay. Oh, my phone came back to life. That's exciting. So, for our Reader's Advisory Roundtable, which is where we discuss a book that we think is a benchmark in a genre, and then that way we can learn more about the genre and learn more about our fellow librarians, etc. For Alternate History, we read His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik, which is a book that I haven't read for a long time. But I enjoyed it just as thoroughly this time as I did the first time I read it. I listened to the audio version with Simon Vance, and this is a book that has come up several times, or this series has come up several times on this podcast, not most recently during the Dragon episode. But the relationship between Captain Lawrence and his friend and dragon, Temeraire. It's very sweet and a little bit romantic upon re-listening.
He's buying him jewelry again, she said to me the other day.
There are some very moving parts. There are sad parts. There are happy parts. It has a lot of period flair, and it does alt history in the way I prefer, which is just adding dragons.
All delivered by our dear friend Simon Vance.
Right. How about your obsession?
My obsession is a forthcoming book that I am reading. It's due out in June, so you don't have to wait long for it. And it is called The Cafe by the Sea by Jenny Colgan, who I have somehow missed until now. She has written several of the classic chick lit kind of young woman finding herself books. And she's super conversational, super readable. The young woman in this one, I am going to go read her others because I am liking her so much. She is a young woman who has not exactly found her way in life. She's in her mid-20s, I believe, and she's not doing anything really stupid. I love women's coming-of-age stories, and whether they do it at 14 or 44, and I am often frustrated by the mid-20s city dweller and the decisions that she makes. And it's not just that I am old and know better. It's they're often not presented as sympathetically as the character in this book, who is a young woman who grew up on a fictional island off the north of Scotland and went away to college and got a job in London and stayed there and was home for her mother's funeral and ran away and never came back. And it's only been 3 or 4 years at this point in the book, but she is sent home for her work because somebody who is a client of her law firm needs her to use her local contacts to their benefit. And it's really touching. It's described as a modern twist on the classic Seven Brides for Seven Brothers story, but that has not come to pass in the 3/4 of it, the book that I have completed thus far.
So that's curious.
I'll keep you posted.
Maybe they need to rebrand that.
Yeah, well, and she's got brothers.
Okay.
And, you know, they're living...
Are they stealing women?
No.
Okay.
They're, you know, and the house is a mess when she comes home because they've been without their mother, you know, in the farm house for the last 3 years. But there's like one scene where she cleans up the kitchen that is straight out of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, but there doesn't do anything else after that. So I'll have to let you know. But I'm loving it. I am really enjoying the character and the voice and the setting and the relationships between the people. Nothing has gone horribly wrong. And
who is it good? The back says fans of...
Oh my goodness, it says fans of Meg Donahue, Ellen Hildebrand, and Sophie Kinsella. I would say it might fit Sophie Kinsella. The people are not nearly as posh as the Nantucketers of Ellen Hildebrand fame, and I don't know Meg Donahue that well. But I was a reader of Meg Cabot's Queen of Babel books and Sophie Kinsella's Shopaholic books, and I got impatient with them. But I do appreciate Sophie Kinsella's non-shopaholic books that I think this would be likely for. I would say Anna Maxted, who wrote Getting Over It, and maybe Marion Keyes as well, if you're going for the UK thing, you know, and maybe Cecilia Ahern.
I think the UK thing makes it all more palatable.
Well, I like it. I like Scotland and Ireland and London and things. So, that is my obsession.
Great.
At length.
That's all right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
To us talk about shoes. Next time, we're going to talk about clothes. So.
We really like talking about shoes, and you can get in touch with me to talk about shoes anytime.
Anytime.
It doesn't just have to be Chucks.
I can see 5 boxes of shoes from here.
Yes, there are 5 cartons of shoes stacked in our room.
Is that Paula's handwriting on some of them? There's one that says, like, nice flats, or there's some, it's something,
no,
some
that's kind my of handwriting.
Oh, okay.
Dressy flats.
Dressy cute. Flats.
Yeah.
It's still amazing to me.
How many shoes I have?
And I still want to build a little extra room off the closet and put all of your sandals in there and then call it Sandals Resort.
I used to have a closet in my office in my other house that did have a Sandals Resort, so she is referring back to that.
Yeah, but I think that it lives on in my heart, Sandals Resort, because I'm nothing if not tenacious with a stupid pun.
Great, and I'm going to try to wear all my sandals in June, so I might keep Instagramming.
Okay. All of them? Don't you have more than 30?
Shh.
Okay, sorry. You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends, BellwetherFrnds. It's a long handle, so we can't put all the letters in. You can find us on Facebook. We have been tumbling recently.
Woohoo!
We are everywhere you want to be, so watch out. But we're probably buying shoes and ignoring you. It's fine. You can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review if you want. I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
And our in and out music was provided by the lovely Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie.
Bye.
Bye.